World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, this show's become my life. In a funny sort of way, it's become my life. And I mean that in a good way. I don't even follow sports anymore. I was watching every once in a while my heart will beat fast when I watch local sports, who won, who lost on Friday night, and that kind of stuff, and then see that our local school here got beat 42-0. And you know, I could have been that coach 10 years ago at that place, and I'd have cleaned that mess up. And really, I want to be kind of known as an answers guy. I don't want to be a guy who sits up in the peanut gallery and throws peanuts at what's going on, be against everything. I want to lead and coach. Come on, let's go. Come on, come on. Let's do it. Let's go. And I looked down, put my glasses on. I looked down this morning. And Spencer, just throw this up here real quick. This is stream of consciousness, of course. This would be Psalm 94. And you know me, I double back. I always double back to the church. I double back to the pastors. It's like in a football game, you don't blame the players. Oh, you might blame the quarterback, but you don't blame the right guard and the right tackle. You blame the coach. You blame the coach. Pastor, are you a coach or not? Are you the coach, pastor? And if you're going to be the coach, can we blame you when things aren't going well? Are we allowed to do that? Or do you just write it off and say, well, you know, it's just the way it's going to be. It's fighting evil. Well, I'm looking right down here. I have it underlined in my Bible, number four, start of verse 14. This is a really good psalm, by the way, Psalm 94. Huh? Boy, we need this. That thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. That sounds good to me. Has that sound good to anybody out there? Oh, see, no, not Christianity. No. No, Coach Dave, it's all love. It's all love and mercy and grace. And so we've come to the place in America where we think that God used to be a really old, mean guy, and then he got born again in the New Testament. Now he's a hippie. Now he's just a Jesus hippie. But the Bible tells us I change not. I change not. I don't change, he said. What? Yeah, till the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people. Hey, friend, I'm sorry, friends. Why are we spending all of our time dealing with those that aren't his people? Oh, yeah, a lot of lost people out there that ain't his people. So I'm just reading what the Bible says. For the Lord will not cast off his people. Gene Schroeder, he ain't casting you off. He ain't casting you off, Mary Beth. Joanne, he ain't casting you off. Betty, he ain't casting you off. And the modern American church is so concerned about the world, the lost world, that we've lost all the salty influence that we're supposed to have in the lost world. Hang on. Verse 15. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. His inheritance? That'd be me? That'd be you? That'd be my children? Are you ready for this one? I got a phone call Sunday morning from my little 5-year-old granddaughter. Lives right over here. Big smile on her face. Said, what's up, Emmy? What's up, Emmy? Grampy, I just received Jesus. I said, what? Yeah, Grampy, I just asked Jesus into my heart. Boom, Vinny.
Amen.
Boom.
Boom.
Now she's one of his people. You got that? Neither will he forsake his inheritance. That's her. That's her. He's not going to forsake her. But judgment shall return unto righteousness. And all the upright in heart shall follow it. Follow what? Judgment. All the upright in heart shall follow judgment. Judgment's a good thing, folks. And then he says this. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? What? Lord, we're supposed to love them and invite them into our church, not judge them, and be tolerant and diverse and have a sign on the door that says, everybody welcome. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Pastor Clint did that today, and we'll get yesterday. I'm going to talk about that in a minute here. Hey, Gene, you going to rise up against the evildoers? You willing to stand up for him against the workers of iniquity? Stand up for him? I am. You know, it's amazing how many people criticize me and you for doing that. Coach Dave, you're not supposed to judge. Coach Dave, so can you guys read? What's wrong with you guys? I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if I want to smite the wicked yesterday, that means I still want to smite them today. Anybody want to argue? Anybody want to argue? Your Pastor Billy Bob probably does, because he wants to build a bigger church. Pastor Billy Bob does. I'm actually in a pretty good mood today. Hang in there with me. My granddaughter received Christ. She's in the family of God. Hallelujah on that one, right? Huh? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Coach.
I'm getting ahead of myself here because I had a good weekend. Dave and Sherry Allison were down here at our house. You wanna have your spirits lifted? Just have Dave and Sherry come stay at your house for a day. Just come do that. And you know, I began to realize this. And maybe some of you in the same place. Do you guys feel like you're alone? I'm thinking about right here where Michelle and I live, in this area that I live here. I have very few friends here in my hometown where I grew up. Because can I tell you why? That thing right there. See that? Hey, folks, that thing right there, that divides, baby. That thing divides. I went to school, and it divides.
Amen.
It divides. It's a great dividing rod right there, that thing right there. I'm not ashamed of it. Because I'm not ashamed of it, I make a lot of enemies. Why? Because there are evildoers out there. And see, we all want to be told that you can do evil and still be in the family of God. That's the mess we're dealing with. And I don't want to get into politics, although it always at my end, where we are right now, kind of ends up in politics. And I simply asked the question the other day, how could any Christian vote for a Democrat? And then we get in, hang on, I'm going to get you in here, I promise. Hang on there with me. And then you know what hit me then? Are you ready? I got to get over here. Huh? You know what the defense is? When I ask that question, how could any Christian vote for a Democrat? You know what the response is? You ready? So's your old man. In other words, Trump. So at some point, you live your lives, whether you admit it or not, you live your lives constantly choosing between the lesser of two evils. Constantly, it's where you live your life. And if you don't understand that, there's something wrong with you. It's never about the perfect and the almost perfect. Ever, ever. It's always about which stinks the least. Always. Anybody want to argue with me on that? That's where we live life, on what stinks the least. And I got people say, how can you support this guy and this guy? I said, hey, dude, when you stop paying your income taxes, give me a call. Because they're taking your money and they're promoting evil with your money. Stop criticizing what I'm doing. I'm feeling this today. I feel good because I saw Sherry and Dave Allison. They encouraged me and did some stuff. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? And then what it says? Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? You mean they're evildoers? Yeah! Yeah! Who will rise up for me against them? Here I am, Lord, send me. I'm happy to. So's your old man. That's always a response. That's always a response. So's your old man. In other words, your guy's just as dirty. Yeah, but my guy ain't murdering babies. So, Coach, they took that out of the Republican. They took it out of the Republican platform, Coach. I know. And they said, what? It's a state's issue. See, them. I don't understand why you guys can't understand this. The abortion is now a state's issue. It's not a federal issue anymore. Look, I'm not making an excuse for them, but why would you try to continue from a federal position, fight for something that they already said is not a federal issue? And you guys that are watching this right now know that I've been a pro-life warrior for a lot longer than a lot of you guys have. And if anybody would be against somebody promoting pro-abortion, I'd be me. The federal government already said it's not a federal issue. It's a local church issue, baby. Hang on. Stay with me. Let me get off of me here. Steve Deck, I said, in Africa. God bless Steve Deck. I had a good talk with him yesterday. We had a great time at Jerome Corsi Saturday night. And I'm not going to, I don't know if Dr. Corsi will come in here today, and I'll quit calling him Fauci. I've been doing all day, all weekend, keep calling him Fauci, just because Fauci, Corsi, whatever. And a lot of the stuff that we have some plans, and I'm not going to make them all public. So some of the stuff I'm not going to talk about. And I think there's some good stuff going on there. God, I've taken 12 minutes already. That's important. I'm looking at my list. Bear with me. So I'm proud of Clint Harper. Proud of him. And I think, and I don't want this to sound like a pat on the back moment either. Pastor Clint's come alive. There's a warrior inside Pastor Clint. And somewhere along the line, no, Roger, no word from the Secretary of State. We're working on a plan there. Somewhere along the line, Clint said, well, I guess I might lose some of my people. Pull him up there, Spence. Pull it up there. So Clint told me, go ahead. Now just play a few minutes of this. And I don't know, is Pastor Clint in here today? I don't even know if he is. I just honor him.
Yeah, I'm in here, Coach.
Okay, not just honor. Just go ahead and play a couple minutes of this.
Well, good evening. We're in Carnesville.
What about the 2 minute mark? Just start. Let's go ahead. Right there is good.
But what I want to talk to you about is the elephant
this is the pastor.
In the room of the church. Now, I firmly believe that you cannot be a Christian and support a Democratic candidate. Uh-oh, there we go. Oh, you judging, right? How can you possibly be led by the Holy Spirit and vote for a demonic, lying bunch of people? Well, what do you mean lying? Well, I got Michelle Obama getting up there and talking about equity in sharing the wealth when that woman, man, whatever she is, has got three homes that's worth $8 million, and she's talking to me about sharing wealth and not being greedy. Father of lies. Father of lies. The whole Democratic convention, they had a Planned Parenthood bus out front doing abortions. And you mean to tell me you're going to be a blood-bought Christian?
Hang on. So's your old man, they yell at the Republicans. So's your old man. See, they never defend. They never defend what they do. They never defend what they do. They just throw it. So's your old man. Your old man ain't so good either. So it's not a battle of the the greater good. It's a battle of it's a battle of the lesser two evils, friends. It's a battle of the lesser two evils. Put that in the chat so they can listen to Pastor Clint. So, Pastor Clint, you make win friends, make influence people last night. What'd they say? I'll bet you this. I'll bet they want to hear more of it. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead. Are you there, Clint?
Yeah, yeah.
What was your reaction, Clint?
Well, yeah, I don't know. All week it's just been burning inside of me. And you have these people that say they're Christians and they're going to vote for these people. And they're deceived, and I had a gut full of it, and I had to let it out somehow, but I don't care. I mean, I've lost people.
Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? So now it says, what you're doing is very biblical. Who will rise up for me against the workers of iniquity? Didn't it say that somewhere? I think it does. Yeah, why it says it right there.
Well, Coach, I've patterned I don't like to say my ministry, but you know, Jesus fed 5,000, then he went over the sea and they followed him, and they said, you know, you just followed me because you're hungry again, you want to see the miracles.
That's right.
And he said, take my body and eat. And the Bible says that many turned away and didn't follow him anymore. He didn't run after him. He didn't say, let's get a bouncy house. He didn't say, he just turned to his disciples and said, are y'all going to leave too? Because he wouldn't change in his opinion.
That's right, baby.
And I'm not going to do it. Heck with it.
If I got to preach to my wife and old Opie the cat, I'm going to.
I got 94 chickens I can preach to.
That's right. That's right, man. They're more likely to listen, aren't they?
But I'm not worried about our people. I'm telling you, they're solid as they. I've actually made disciples in life. I'm just.
Amen. They're amen in you. Hey, you know what I say? If they leave, good riddance.
Oh yeah, they never was with us.
That's the way I see it. Huh? Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the way I see it. That's the way
if they'll leave because of yesterday, they'll leave because of something else eventually. So.
Amen. 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 I want to show you a couple other things, and I'm just going to kind of open it up this morning. Pull up. I don't even know if I can go there with it. Pull up the Greg Reese video. I think that's what it says. Did I send that to you? Yeah, I think this is it. Go ahead.
Dr. Reiner Fulmick is the public frontman for an international team comprised of hundreds of lawyers and medical experts who have begun legal proceedings over the CDC, the WHO, and
hang on, crazy. Are you looking at me? Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Go ahead.
For committing crimes against humanity. The protocol for the PCR test given by the WHO and the CDC was knowingly set to a level that guaranteed 100% false positives or false negatives. So there is no pandemic. This is all about getting people to take the shot.
Folks, there was no pandemic. Set up for false positives.
Amen.
Boom. I'm going to say it again. There is and was no pandemic. It was created out of thin air. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will rise up for me against the workers of iniquity? Well, they can't rise up against them. Why? Because they're in bed with them, including the church. Go ahead.
Amen, Coach.
Their argument is that we are at the very least being subjected to an illegal experiment. And at the worst, global genocide. Dr. Fulmick points out how the experimental jab is in clear violation of all 10 of the Nuremberg Codes, which carry the penalty of death for those who violate.
The American church isn't even for the death penalty. I'll get into that in a minute, huh? The Lord's for it, but not the church. We're nicer than Jesus. Go ahead.
Them. Number one, voluntary consent is absolutely essential. There should be no intervention or any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress,
treason,
or any.
If they forced you to take it, they violated the Nuremberg Code. Keep going.
Form of constraint or coercion. By definition, a vaccine must provide immunity to the virus, protect recipients from getting the virus, reduce deaths, infections, circulation, and transmission of the virus. We are told the experimental jab does none of these, yet they fraudulently call it a vaccine. As far as duress, constraint, and coercion, it's everywhere. If you want your life back, get the shot. Number two, the experiment should be such as to yield fruitful results unprocurable by other methods. The most fruitful method would be a healthy immune system, which can be achieved through good health and natural supplements such as vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc. But the people are not being told this. In fact, those who point it out are being vilified and silenced.
Amen.
Number three, the experiment should be designed and based on the results of animal experimentation. This experimental jab skipped animal testing. Number four, the experiment should be so conducted as to avoid all unnecessary physical and mental suffering and injury. According to official reports, there are already thousands of deaths and over 250,000 injuries from this experiment. Number five, no experiment should be conducted where there is an a priori reason to believe that death or disabling injury will occur. Past trials have shown a strong possibility that these new spike proteins will cause a body to attack itself. This is known as antibody-dependent enhancement, or ADE. And recent doctors have blown the whistle that this could end up killing everybody who's been vaccinated in the next 2 years. Number six, the risk should never exceed the benefit. COVID-19 has a 98 to 99% survival rate, less deadly than the seasonal flu. The experimental jab is already the most dangerous vaccine in VAERS 30-year history. Number seven, proper preparations should be made and adequate facilities provided to protect the experimental subject against even remote possibilities of injury, disability, or death. There were no preparations made. There are no facilities. The subject shows up for their shot and goes home. Number eight, the experiment should be conducted only by scientifically qualified persons. This experiment has been exclusively run by politicians, the media, celebrities, and big pharma bureaucrats. Number nine, the subject should be at liberty to bring the experiment to an end. Thousands of medical experts have attempted to end this madness, and their voices continue to be silenced. Number 10, the experiment must be brought to an end if resulting in injury or death. And yet, the experiment pushes on. Once again, those who violate these international laws are subject to the death penalty. Legal proceedings are moving forward and evidence is being collected. Whistleblowers are directed to contact the international team at www.securewhistleblower.com. This is likely the biggest crime ever committed against the world population. And the question is, do we still have a judicial system to exact justice? For Infowars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Okay, hang on a minute. I'm going to say this. I'm going to open it up here. Pull up death penalty. We need a death penalty. We need public executions. Folks, again, you can go to the Bible and they will do whatever they want to do with the scriptures to convince you that the death penalty is no longer Christian. They say that's Old Testament. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Right, the Old Testament law commanded by death penalty. Death penalty, are you ready for this? Old Testament death penalty for murder, kidnapping, bestiality, adultery, homosexuality, being a false prophet, prostitution and rape, and several other crimes. And the death penalty was a deterrent. But understand this, there was two things we're dealing with. You can't trust the courts anymore. the courts aren't any good, so you're not sure you're going to get a fair judgment in the courts. We understand that, right? If the death penalty were in place right now, they would probably have already, Eva Edel, they'd probably already put her to death, probably would have. But understand this. Are you looking at me? I'm going to give you a truth right now that some of you have never heard. The death penalty is the most just, merciful thing that God can do.
Amen.
And let me explain to you why. Number one, justice is making the person injured whole. Now, if someone were to kill my wife, they couldn't make me whole by killing them. That wouldn't make me whole. But justice is this. I have to know that if I violate the law, it's going to cost me something. So the idea of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is this. My wife's life was valuable. So you got to give up yours. It settles the score, so to speak. Settles the score. And the death penalty is so merciful. See, it's not about this life, is it? Isn't it about the next life? Y'all believe that? Y'all believe it's about the afterlife and where we're going to go and all that? I believe it is. And so the death penalty is so merciful because you know the day you're going to die. If I kill somebody and I'm found guilty in court of law, not like abortion where the mother just decides that she wants the death penalty for her kid. That's not justice. That ain't justice. The death penalty is you killed somebody and you're going to even the score here. And by the way, you're going to be sentenced to die in 30 days. You've got 30 days to get right with the Lord. And you can be forgiven and you can go to heaven. But you have to forfeit your life here as fair payment for what you did by taking another's life. The death penalty is the most righteous form of justice that we can have. Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Why? Because the wages of sin is death. He's talking spiritual death. We all die physically. We're all going to die. What happens when you die? You go somewhere, right? We used to teach heaven or hell. Is it possible to be on death row, receive Christ as your Savior, be electrocuted, and go to heaven? Yes! Get it? And then they don't apply the same death penalty to the unborn baby. No judge, no jury, nobody. No, my choice, my body, my choice. Huh? And what do they say? Well, that's not a person. Well, of course it's not a person, right? It's not a person. Because why? Because it didn't have, you can hold it. Created in the image of God. Got a heartbeat. What are you talking about? And so the same people scream no death penalty or for abortion. Somebody explain that to me. It's because the church has gone soft. The church has gone soft. Now, the problem I have with the death penalty now is juries are... See, you can't get, folks, you can't get a fair trial by jury because the people sitting on the jury don't share your same values. The last thing I want to do is go sit in front of a jury of my peers, and they're all atheists. Man, that isn't my peers. The last thing I want to do is go have a trial in Washington, D.C., where the people on the jury don't share my values. Those aren't my peers. So our court system is so screwed up that I understand why people could be against the death penalty, because the system's screwed up. However, it's about the next life, isn't it? It's not about this one. I'm all over the place. Can I tell you why I'm so over the place? I'm so all over the place because the stinking church can't even get this stuff right. And because the church can't get this stuff right, the world doesn't get this stuff right. And whether you realize it or not, you and I are living under secular rules. Non-Christian rules are put into place for Christians. And the guy standing in the pulpit say, oh, coach, we have to obey Romans 13. We have to obey those guys over. I said, no, that's Lucifer and his minions. I don't obey them. By the way, what was that scripture? Who will rise up for me against the workers of iniquity? And that's what it says? You know what it says? Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the... What? That's Bible too, isn't it? So sadly, this is all playing out in the political realm. The political realm. Donald Trump, Kamala Harris, blah, 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 blah. Ain't none of them, in my mind, ain't none of them qualified. One of them's going to be president. One of them is. Well, I don't know if either one of them, from a biblical standpoint, are qualified. And I get people griping and moaning to me about supporting a baby killer. Trump is a baby. Okay, well, support the other baby killer then. It's going to be one of them. And you can tell me to stop supporting Trump when you stop paying your taxes. You stop paying your taxes, and maybe I'll listen to you. Stop going to Walmart. Stop going to Best Buy. Stop going to Netflix. You stop doing all that crap that you're doing, and then you can preach to me. Until then, dude, keep your mouth shut. All right? Keep your mouth shut. Man, I'm okay. I've vented a little bit. Blow out, Mayor. Take a little breath. Feel better. Somebody come on in. Oh me or oh my. Come on, somebody come on in there. Somebody come in there.
Good makes sense.
Hey folks, listen. I'm gonna tell you this. It is immeasurable the evil you are doing by paying taxes. It's immeasurable. Do you get that? They are using your money to bring in illegals. Every illegal who came across that border that the government paid for, who then kills a woman or a child or what, blood's on your hand, baby.
Amen.
We can say it's not. That's the truth. And people won't stop paying taxes because they're worried about what? Strong arm of government coming in telling you have to, and your pastor saying that you have to as well. That's right up Jack's alley. I don't know if Jack's going to come in here or not. Paying taxes. Are you, who ever heard such a thing? Paying taxes. Come on. No waste going on there, is there? Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, after the last few mornings of discussions here, I went down Saturday morning and lit up the Republican Party down there on Main Street with all their yard signs and all their garbage. I went in and basically I grabbed an Appeal to Heaven flag off my shelf because they're not buying my flags this year. They finally wised up. They finally wised up and ordered some, but they ain't here yet. Imagine that. Oh, well, one company said we might not get them. The other one's supposed to be shipping them. They're stupid. I said, why is the Republican Party always a day late and a dollar short? Then I held up that flag. I said, listen, I'm going to donate you a flag if you'll put it up. And they're like, you ever heard of an Appeal to Heaven flag? They looked at me, three of them sitting there at their little desk and all fancy little. It's the old bank, First Federal Bank on Main Street, Mount Vernon. All fixed up, windows painted, chairs out front, yard signs inside, all these politicians, political advertisements. Some politician come in and told them, said, man, this is the nicest Republican Party I've seen the office in a long time. Well, it looks nice. That's it. So I went into the Appeal to Heaven flag. I said, here's the problem. And I ripped Bernie Murray. Now, I ripped our two county commissioners. I ripped them all. I was pointing out signs and exposing the evil behind these people, that they're doing nothing. And I brought up Pastor Bill's name. I said, what's Bernie Moreno and J.D. Vance and Jim Jordan doing? Then I talked about the political. J.D. Vance's idea was, well, I can handle their kindergarten rhetoric. I said, people, it's not kindergarten rhetoric. It's spiritual. It's a battle between, it's a war. So I'm going on with them. They went over and hung up that flag. They said, well, we're going to do some events down here. I said, like what? And they named off, they're going to do some special events down there to draw people in. And it was all political. I said, stop with the political crap. I said, why don't you invite all 140 pastors in this county down here and let's do a prayer session down here in this place and pour out the unrighteousness in our government. It went on and on.
They don't even like each other. The pastors don't even like each other.
I got to do about a whole hour with them and I just lit them up.
Pull this up for me real quickly. I'll get you on here, I promise. Spencer, pull up MAGA. It says MAGA. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We had anything going on and on about that. I don't trust any politician. Certainly don't trust the Republican Party. The Republican Party is the problem. Because why? We've trusted them to be righteous, and they're not righteous. They're not. So here's what Robert F. Kennedy said about MAGA. Because, folks, are you noticing the Kamala Harris and those, the Democrats, they're not tooting their own horn. They're telling you why you can't vote for him. They're literally promoting themselves as the lesser of two evils. Do you understand that? They're not blowing the horn for how good they are. Robert F. Kennedy says, the phrase has troubled liberals who think it is a call for a return to the America before civil rights, gay rights, women's rights. Kennedy says, but I have a more generous interpretation, one that is truer to my experience of Donald Trump as he is today. Make America Great Again recalls a nation brimming with vitality, with a can-do spirit, with hope and a belief in itself. It was an America that was beginning to confront its darker shadows, could acknowledge the injustice in its past and its present, yet at the same time could celebrate its successes. It was a nation of broad prosperity, the world's most vibrant middle class, an idealistic belief, though not consistently applied, in freedom, justice, and democracy. It was a nation that led the world in innovation, productivity, and technology. It was the healthiest country in the world. I've talked to many Trump supporters. I've talked with his inner circle. I've talked to the man himself. This is the America they want to restore. And I got in a debate some other days. People said, have you noticed this, folks? If you're a Trump supporter, look, I don't want this to be about Trump. I'm making a point. If you are MAGA, you know they call you fringe. You understand that? If you're a MAGA, you're right-winger, you're a right-winger. Can somebody help me out here real quickly? How many votes did MAGA get in the last election? Does anybody know how many votes? Come on, somebody tell me.
Like 70 million.
Maybe 90 million. 70 to 90 million. So 70 to 90 million of us are fringe? What?
Amen.
And see, that's what they're playing against us, friends. That's why they're playing. That's what they're. So our only opportunity, in my where I'm coming from, is we have to have some. The Republican Party hates Trump. The Democrat Party hates Trump. I'm against both of those. Me, I'm against both of those. Republicans are frauds. Republicans are frauds. I'm against them. Jack McCarthy, come on in.
Yeah, how many hours do I have, Coach? We could go down that rabbit trail.
You don't even have one. You don't even have one.
Okay. So you brought out the fundamentals this morning, and that's what we need, the fundamentals. And so judgment and proper godly judgment is what you were talking about. But we don't like fundamentals when it comes to our lives. You brought out taxes. Okay, let's suppose that taxes are legal. What about the idea that the proper way, the only way, the legal way to collect taxes is in Article 1, Section 10, gold or silver coin? We don't have any. Okay, so you can't pay taxes. So every sales tax you pay is illegal. They cannot take it. It says so. But we don't go to the fundamentals. We go to the fringe conversation and get into debate, which means we lost the debate. As soon as you enter the conversation, you lost the debate. Stick with the fundamentals. Repeat the fundamentals. It doesn't matter. It never changes. And to the other question you asked about why the Republicans aren't doing this, and in the chat, somebody was asking about the natural born citizen clause, because the Republicans wanted to run non-natural born citizens. They don't want to use that. They will not defend the Constitution. They simply bend it, mutilate it. Bye.
Obama wasn't a natural born citizen. Kamala's not a natural born citizen. They have a law and they don't follow it. And nobody makes them follow, Jack.
That's right.
Rubio, Cruz, and Nikki Haley. Neither one.
None of them. Natural born. Natural born. Do we need to pull that up? Pull that up real quick, Spencer. What is a natural born citizen? What's the definition of a natural born? Because only a natural born. See, Jerome Corsi told me the birth certificate was fake. It was fake. Remember what they did to Joe Arpaio? Remember that? Okay, now look. Here it is. A natural born citizen is a person who's born a U.S. citizen and does not need to go through the naturalization process. The term comes from Article 2, Section 1, which outlines the eligibility requirements for the presidency. The Constitution does not define the term, but commentators, blah, blah. According to the U.S., a person born in the United States and subject to its jurisdiction is a natural born citizen. A person born outside the U.S. may be considered a natural born citizen that meets the requirements of birth. So this isn't helping me out.
That's not true, Coach. That definition is not true. That's not the valid one.
That is not true. A natural born citizen is a child born to two natural born parents. That's a natural born citizen, friends. That is a natural born citizen. That's why Ted Cruz is not a natural born citizen. His dad was a Canadian or something, right? A natural born citizen person became a U.S. citizen at birth and did not go through a naturalization process. Term arises under Section 2. No person accepts a natural born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of the Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president. Neither shall any person be eligible to be office of president who should not have attained the age of 35. Yada, yada, yada. So, God bless you. No matter how righteous and holy you are, if your mommy and daddy were not both born in the United States, you are not eligible to be president. And we look the other way with Obama. But it doesn't start there, does it? It starts with the redefining of what income is. I'm looking for a dollar. It defines what a dollar is. It's always in the details, folks. It's always in the details. And who's the purveyor of truth in America? Somebody help me. Who's the purveyor of truth? Oh, the church. The church. And what does the church tell you have to do, Gino? Obey the government.
Obey the government.
Yeah. Obey those liars and scumbags. Huh? You ever heard of the Black Robe Regiment? Led to the revolution? It was Christian men said, we ain't doing that. Sorry, we ain't doing that. Can't find any of those today. I'm all over the place this morning. That's okay. Go ahead, Gino. Come on in.
Yeah, I was just wanting to point out something. I was listening to the Democratic convention, and there's two statements that they really pointed out. When Obama came out, he says America wants change, but he didn't tell us what the change was. He didn't tell us what it was.
No, that's right.
Now, today, I listened to them, and they say we're not going back. But what do they mean by that? We need to go back to our common law, which our original law is. That's then we would have justice. There has to be a victim.
Gino, see, they want to say we're not going back to slavery. That's what they – see, folks, that's what they want to do. When they say we're not going back, as Gene is so aptly saying here, go back to what? What are you talking about we're not going back? Well, yes, we are going back. Hey, folks, what do you do when you get lost? You go back. Start over again, right? We're lost. Let's go back and start over again. Yes, we do want to go back. Yes, I do want to go back. No, I don't want to go back to everything it used to be, but I want to go back to the truth. I want to go back to the foundation and then make adjustments as necessary. But when they told us in 1947 that there was a separation between the church and state, the Bible went out the door, and look what happened to America. Jeff Mayers, come on in.
Well, as long as you have a Social Security number, you're bound by the Uniform Commercial Code.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing.
That's a whole show. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to learn Latin. You have to get out of the Social Security tax scam, the whole thing. It's a process.
It is. It is.
There's a lot of explanation about that. I mean, we look at it the wrong way because that's not your Social Security number. It's their number. They gave it to you. Right. But that all capital letter name. But that's another whole view. I know.
Wouldn't you think that the Southern Baptist Convention would be leading a protest against paying taxes to illegal government. Wouldn't you think they would? Oh, no, 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 no. Because the government's stronger than God. You understand that, don't you? The government's under God. No, 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 no. God's under the government. I'm sorry, I got it backwards. God's under the government. You can't bring God in here. We're our own entity. And that's happened with what? The approval and support of the local church. Greg Yates, come on in, Greg. Maybe it's Beth, whichever one of you, come on in. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hey, Coach, sorry I was muted. I teach asylum seekers and immigrants up here in Maine. And the other day I had an immigrant from Angola, been here 2 months, very proudly tell me, I can vote in November. And I went, you can do what? Oh, I can vote. I said, can I go to Angola and vote? Oh, no. Well, what makes you think you can vote here in America? I pay taxes. I was told if I pay taxes, I can vote. Well, I have been telling my director and other people in the community, we have a very large immigrant community. You've got to get the word out. These people are going to get on a list for felony and deportation immediately because some idiot out here is trying to use them and exploit them to their political gain. It just angers me so much.
Well, Greg, here's one of the things they don't understand. Coach. The churches are involved with the illegal immigration because why? Because they come from this liberal point of view that we're supposed to all take care of the needy and the poor. And that's noble, and we agree with it. But you got to do it right. You got to do it legally. You don't take care of the needy and the poor by breaking the law, do you? No, you don't do it that way. There are laws to follow. Folks, who's going to hold up the law? The church is going to hold up the law. The politicians aren't going to. The church has got to. I put a big note right here on my notes, right here on my notes. I said this. Only the church can do it. Only the church can do it. I see Dr. Corsi's in here, did a great presentation. I know this, that we're going to present this information to the politicians, and we're going to let politicians tell us what the truth is. See, fraud's a crime, according to God. Fraud's a crime. Politicians don't care if fraud's a crime. If they're the ones doing it, they don't care, right? They don't care. So I don't want a football coach. I don't want a football game because the referees blew the penalty. I don't want to win that way. Nobody wants to win that way. And right now, the left's got all the referees. Got all the referees. And the Christian church won't throw that red challenge flag. We won't get involved with throwing a red challenge flag. We're the only ones going to do it. And they aren't going to do it. What? Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will rise up for me against the workers of iniquity? That's what we're trying to do here at Coach Dave Locke. Dr. Corsi, come on in. Good morning. Thanks for coming down Saturday night.
Oh, I really enjoyed it.
Hey, Dr. Corsi, hang on. You better watch out. You're going to get hooked on this show. Go ahead.
I probably will. I probably have already been hooked on the show. I enjoyed being with you all very much. And thank you. I want to thank everybody who helped me with the rides, going both ways back and forth to.
Teresa and Dave and Sherry picked up.
Here up to the falls.
Amen. Yep.
Yes, and they did a great job, and I enjoyed being with all of them. They're great people, and I really enjoyed getting to know them. So I want to thank them. This week the two things, I want to do more of those types of meetings in the counties and with different groups meeting throughout the state. So to the extent you can hook me up with other groups who would like to have me come and speak to them, let's do so. I'll be back here in Ohio around the 8th or 9th of September, and I'll be here much of September. So I'm going to try to get the word out as extensively as I can through these meetings. I thought the meeting was very productive, good questions, a great group, and it really gets the word out.
Amen.
If you pass that word to others, it helps tremendously. Second, this week I'm going to go to the press in Ohio. And I'm going to start making you aware that the Ohio State Secretary of State has got an investigation going on this fraud that we pointed out in the voter registration database, these encrypted schemes, which will allow the certification of fraudulent mail-in ballots. We're also going to file with other states this week. So we're going to expand this. We're trying to make it a national issue this week. And so I need everyone's assistance and prayers that this succeeds. It's very important that we get this word out. And I'm going to be going on the media more. Please pass also the gods5stones.com. Make sure everybody sees that. There's new information going up in that almost every day. And that's where you keep up with what we're doing. It's also where you can make contributions.
Okay, Dr. Corso, you're an old Cleveland Indians fan, so you can hit a curveball. Here comes a curveball. You ready?
Okay, ready?
Was Obama a natural-born citizen?
No, he was not a natural-born citizen. We've argued this endlessly. And any number of reasons, he was not natural-born. His father was not a citizen when he was born. That's a major issue. Number two, I don't think there's a record that he was born in Hawaii. I don't know where he was born. But I know for a fact that the birth certificate that he found was fake, because I found the birth certificate from which Obama's had been copied. And Sheriff Arpaio spent over 2 years, and we had that proven by independent forensic labs.
So, Dr. Corsi,
so the birth certificate I found, an authentic. Who put him in power?
Yeah.
I've always believed Obama was been a CIA creation, because his whole life story is like a CIA legend. It's all made up. You can't validate any aspect of Obama's life. Every time you look for records, they aren't there. So he's a missing person. No, he doesn't have records from schools. The Immigration Naturalization Service said when he was a child that they did not believe that Barack Obama Sr. was the father. Barack Obama Sr. and Ann Dunham never lived together. The whole thing is a made-up story.
And they destroyed Judge Arpaio over, didn't they? Sheriff Arpaio.
They did destroy Judge Arpaio over this, and we got Judge Arpaio a pardon, because at the end of his career, the left was trying to imprison Joe Arpaio. And they were making up charges against him over an election that he was running in. And the whole thing was fraudulent. This left is vicious in how they go after people.
So, Dr. Corson,
it's got to be stopped.
This isn't just starting right now. This has been going. This is a continuation going back probably how far? Back maybe to Gerald Ford, maybe back to the killing of Kennedy. This whole thing has been going on.
I think it goes on even farther than that. I think it goes on back to Pearl Harbor, because I think Franklin Roosevelt baited the Japanese into attacking at Pearl Harbor. It's the only way he could get us into the war. And I think it goes beyond that. I mean, the sinking of the Maine, which started the 1898 Spanish-American War. The governments lie, and they create these events which are designed to trigger action.
Amen.
This deep state wants perpetual war. They want constant war, which only the bankers and the arms makers make money on. And they constantly are pushing us into greater, greater servitude. I've got to take this call.
So, all right, thank you, Dr. Kors. We'll be in touch, baby.
We'll be in touch.
Kevin, come on in.
Well, I was just going to ask Dr. Dorsey, the second part of your question, is Kamala Harris a natural-born citizen?
No, she's not even close. But see, here's what they've done. They've made that a dead issue, right? They've made that a dead issue. They went to war over Obama to make natural-born citizen a dead issue, and now people aren't even going to bring it up. Folks, natural-born means your mother and father were natural-born American citizens. Your mother and father were natural-born American citizens. That was the only way. And so they opened that floodgate, as he said. We don't get into the whole Obama thing, but a CIA created thing. Folks, look! The kings of this earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Do you think that's a lie? It's the whole thing. It's over a conflict over who's going to be King of Kings. We know who the King of Kings is. And those who know who the King of Kings is will not stand up and fight. They submit to secular socialist democracy.
Boom.
So the only ones who can push back won't. Jack.
Yeah, you go back to the fundamentals as to why that natural born citizen clause is in there. It was very simple. The founders did not want dual loyalty. They did not want dual loyalty. They knew what the monarchies had done. They were all dual loyalists. They didn't want the president to have a dual loyalty. Fundamentals, law of nations.
Amen, amen. Hey, friends, somebody asked me, what can I do to help? Here's one of the things you can do. Every Republican group you have, every civic group you have, try to get them to have Dr. Corsi come and speak. He'd be glad to do it. He'd be come and speak. Every group that you can possibly put him before. Now, we filmed ours on Saturday night. We'll get it put together in a shareable form. Oh, I got to share this because one of the folks was there made an unbelievable. I wish I had one in front of me. A great illustration. Imagine that you went to the bank and you took a roll of quarters. All right. You know, you guys all know what it looks like. And it says on the outside, $10. $10. But inside, there's only three real quarters. The rest of them are what we used to call slugs. Anybody remember slugs other than me? Fake coins you'd put into play the pinball machine and all that. So you got a roll of quarters, and inside are three real quarters. The rest of them, maybe you could say 10 of them, 10 real quarters. The rest of them are just fake things. They're not coins. So you take it to the bank, and you give the bank the quarters, and the bank registers. $10 came in. They didn't look inside to see if there's real quarters in there. All they knew is they had a stack of what said to be quarters, and then they recorded it in the bank. But somewhere down the line, someone got that roll of quarters and there weren't any real quarters in it. That's what they've done in the election. They've given us a roll of quarters. Said these people all voted, but they're not real people. They're not real quarters. You get what's going on? And boy, when she said that, my eyes went boom. That's it. That's it. Because see, when they take the quarters and you go to the bank, why, the bank certifies them, don't they? Have you ever seen the girl in front of you at the bank, open it up and see if all the quarters are in there? No. She just puts it over where the quarter rolls are. That's what's going on in the elections. Oh, man, that's so good. Judd, quickly, we got 3 minutes, bud.
Yeah, and this stuff totally hits home. You know, you talk about the election machines and the quarters and all that type of stuff. We got to look back to history. You brought up the Gerald Ford topic. Nelson Rockefeller. All these guys in the late 70s, they made a strong push to basically install themselves, which really, if you get into it, installed the Obama administration. How is that? How would Gerald Ford be responsible for Obama? Well, when you get into the Freemason side of things, the next president after, we'll say Nelson Rockefeller, Nelson Rockefeller and those guys brought in Jimmy Carter, arguably the worst president of all time, probably even worse than Biden. If you go into the details of it, because what they established was the CIA's ability to run a shadow government. This is where people don't want to talk about this. This is the senior executive service group. This is the shadow government that's hidden behind all the other stuff that none of us, they don't even want people want to talk about. These guys are the pulling the strings. Do you know to be in the senior executive service, you have to be a Freemason? Case closed. And then Act Blue and Win Red, the two groups who fund both those parties. Do you know the top of those guys? You know, Garrett Lansing. What is he? He's a Freemason. And then you look at the installation of all the churches. The churches go into which churches are funding WinRed or even Act Blue.
Now you're starting to understand the control arm, that the senior executive service has over the churches. These are the people who put the churches on the bench. Mm. And what we need to do is get the bench, get the people off the bench and get onto the field and let them know they can put their helmet on, strap it up and play the game. We win. The people win.
Hey, Jed, I've not yet begun to fight. See you tomorrow, folks.